When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Lions late, Lions often, Lions win 52-21. Andy Mazur alongside the fellas here will be with you till 6 o'clock here this evening. And, boy, this was a clinic put on by the Lions. We expected more from them than they gave in Green Bay. You knew that was going to be one of those situations where they weren't going to lose again, especially at home.
Well, and folks, you know, look, this turned into a rout, and it was completely unacceptable, you know, especially the second half. But more importantly, you know, you knew that this was going to be a game that was going to be tough to win. All that being said, you know, letting Minnesota escape with a victory last week, it kind of has set the tables for this thing to really, really go south. And we just got through watching Dallas gut it out and win in overtime against the Giants. And so, you know, they are coming in here licking their chops, thinking, you know, this is a team that, you know, looking at the Chicago Bears, that is devoid of leadership, devoid of any semblance of function on offense, and our defense was just an embarrassment today, OB.
Well, excuse me, Danny, I cannot tell you, it'd be very hard for me to express how disappointed I am in this coaching staff and in the 53 players. We have two tight ends. One is 6 feet six, our number one draft choice. The other one is 6'5". Great hands, great separation. They're the people utilized in all other offenses except ours. For four quarters today, our two tight ends caught two passes. Cole Kmet caught two. Loveland, nothing. Zero. He was targeted one time. Three targets in the 60 minutes of football where you go and see, look at our opponents today with their tight ends, and then you take a look at us. I'm going to tell you what. The coaches did not show up today, and the players did not show up today. I am searching for words. It gets a little difficult sometimes when you have players making millions upon millions upon millions of dollars, along with the coaches making millions and millions of dollars, and this is what you show? This is what we are? We're 0-2, and we get ripped apart today from A to Z? My Lord!
All I can tell you is this, OB. Two things. Number one, well, I don't know what Ben Johnson's smoking, but he has deferred. He won the toss in both games, and he deferred. Now, if you are an offensive genius and you are the one that is supposed to be the trendsetter, why are you kicking the ball away?
Yeah, there you go. Yes, Danny, yes.
Well, and you know what? We were able to stop the Vikings, but not the Lions, and you put yourself behind the eight ball on the road with the crowd. I don't understand exactly the game plan. You know, last week it was basically a grab bag of a bunch of, you know, chuck and duck, and then today we never were able to get any semblance of offense going with any rhythm and purpose. And so much of the time when you go on the road, you know that you're going to have to go silent count, all these different things. You need to plan for it and be able to operate, you know, under that kind of a duressful situation. And we did go hurry up on occasion, but from start to finish, what has changed in a year? Is everybody wanting Eberflus back now? I mean, he didn't get beat 52-21. I mean, at some point, you have to start saying, what the hell are you thinking? as the coaching staff, Dennis Allen, you know, you make Jared Goff look like he's destined for the Hall of Fame today. 156 quarterback rating. 156.
Doesn't get any better than that, folks. That's the highest rating you can get.
And five touchdown passes. At some point, will you explain to me why we cannot get after the quarterback? You know, last week we got a couple of early pressure sacks that, you know, they were coverage sacks and, you know, kind of fell into it. We don't have any pass rush. We cannot run the ball with purpose. We are a team without a hook to hang a hat. And I'm telling you, it's not going to get any better. Dallas, they smell blood, and this is not going to be easy. Early on, I had us winning the opener, losing in Detroit, because it is just, it's a tough place to go and win. But I had us winning against Dallas. Who the hell thinks the Bears will be favored this coming Sunday against Dallas?
Danny, what went on out there today, and I'm going to tell you what. The players, they got to take a long look at themselves. And did you see the accuracy of our quarterback today, folks? Did you really pay attention to the accuracy? This game was an absolute pattern how to lose a football game in the National Football League. You can't stop them on defense, and you can't convert on third down, and you can't score, and you can't stop anybody from scoring. That's why we're 0-2. So to get up here and to say how good our quarterback plays, he stinks, okay? He leads us to nothing. We can't even get a touchdown with this guy. Defensively, who do we stop? We can't stop anybody. You saw it today. We got it shoved down our throats. Where's the answer? Where's the adjustments at halftime? We had none. And it's a damn shame. Again, 17 games, we're 0-2. I cannot tell you how irritated I am. And I'm going to tell you something. Again, let me say it one more. This coaching staff, which I never believed could be this bad, Dan, in any phase of any way, never could I ever believe they could coach this bad, and they did. And never did I believe our second-year quarterback could play as pathetic as he did today. My God, he wasn't. When he's throwing a football or behind the guys or into the ground, and everybody making millions and millions of dollars, and it's okay. No, it's not okay.
312-981-7200. That's our number. We're going to take a break here for the news. And we will come back again. We're going to be with you until 6 o'clock here tonight to break down every little nook and cranny of a 52-21 loss by the Bears to the Detroit Lions. We'll get into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here in just a moment. Happen OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. And the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears, 52-21, the final. And before we get into the meat of this, let's talk about the meat that we had for lunch here today. Jake Melnick's providing it for us, a variety of chicken wings today and some brisket sliders. They were delicious and at least made watching what we had to watch a little more tolerable.
Well, it was a disaster after that opening Bear drive.
Their food was excellent.
Yes, it was.
It was good. It was the only highlight of, you know, the next hour or so. But, guys, you know, think about this. Yeah, we took the ball down and put together an 8-play, 79-yard drive for a touchdown to get back in a tie 7-7. And then we went on, a stumble bum run where we basically handed the game to Detroit. We punted. We fumbled, swift fumble. And, I mean, it was a great play by Blades forcing that fumble. But then we come back, and then we get gutsy. And on our own 28, our own 37, we go for it on fourth down again. And Caleb, an errant pass to Zacchaeus, and we turn it over. Now, the good news is the defense held. We forced them to have to kick a field goal, but they missed it. So we're still in it. But no, that's not enough. We come back and throw an interception. Caleb Williams throws up a prayer. Then, yeah, we get a touchdown to end the second quarter. But by then, all the momentum had been handed to Detroit, and then it was just turning into a laugher. Too many mistakes, too many, you know, foibles. And again, we kicked off out of bounds, giving them the ball at the 40. And, you know, it's one mistake after another. And this all goes under the heading of improved coaching. Is it not? Doesn't coaching have to come in to play here? How does your kicker kick it out of bounds? What is he thinking? What is he doing? Obviously, Armstrong, the special team coach, had him directionally kicking it, and he pulls in and pulls it out of bounds. Well, and that kind of set the table for all the other foibles that were to occur.
Well, Danny, our first game last week, okay, were we ready to play? No, we were not. Don't let anybody tell you, folks. We were not ready to play. This coaching staff did not have those 53 players ready to play that opening game, okay? And now we go to the second game. We're 0-2 now, but listen to this stat, folks. Their quarterback, Detroit Lions, averaged 11.9, almost 12 yards a pass. Danny, I can't remember what year or what game I ever heard or saw numbers like that. Folks, average roughly about 12 yards a pass. Where was the pass rush? Where was the blitz? Where was the intensity on defense?
How about some coverage?
Okay, exactly. Offense, why don't you go downfield? Why don't you open it up? Why don't you? I don't understand it. There's post patterns, deep post patterns, fly patterns, hitch and goes. There's so many things you could do. Again, attacking downfield, folks, and we don't do it. I'll be damned if we don't do it. That's what the game is, 53 yards wide, 100 yards long, attack downfield. Quit playing scared to death football. And I'm going to tell you, this quarterback of ours, the greatest quarterback to ever come out of college, et cetera, if you believe some people, I'm going to tell you, pal, you haven't shown anything to me. You haven't shown anything. Last year, what did you show me, bottom line? Nothing. You showed me that you could lose, okay? No direction of how to win. You start out this way, our offense, our coaches, and our quarterback, okay, we're 0-2. 0-2. We got 15 games left. And you still haven't showed me that you can win on a consistent basis in the National Football League. The head coach, you better start taking a look at maybe somebody else. Because you can't go into the third game in this, and if this is the same replica of what's happened the first two, make the change. Make it. Bite the bullet.
That highlight, that's who brought it today, by the way. Sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, the card to bring through it all, Roma Dunze. Getting things done. 7 catches, 128 yards today, a couple of touchdowns. He averaged 18.3 yards a reception and 39 yards after the catch as well. So he was targeted 11 times and made 7 catches, 2 for TDs.
Well, and you know what? There are a few, you know, little spots of hope that you can see. And Dunze, obviously, we know that he will be a fine player, a good player. Unfortunately, a lot of this was in garbage time because, like I said, in the second quarter, we were really way too busy giving the game away on a platter. You know, we go fumble, turnover on downs, interception, and by then it's 28-14. Or 28-7, and we score a touchdown right before the half to kind of put a little, you know, something on the scoreboard. But back to the top of the page, OB, we went into training camp full of optimism and hope and belief that we're on a new day and we would not get into situations that we've seen this team kind of get into the last 5 quarters.
Still lingering around.
And at some point, the mirror has to be the one that tells the tell. And I'm talking about Ben Johnson. I'm talking about Declan Doyle, the offensive coordinator. I'm talking about Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen, his defense gave up 7 touchdowns today. I don't think did Eberflus, as bad as it ever got, did we give up 7 touchdowns in a game? Here it is, second week of the season. There is something that is not being, you know, conveyed in the meeting room, in the preparation of practice, all these different things that lead us to a point where we get into a game and we look like the Washington Wizards. And, you know, everybody does what they want and high five all the way to the locker room.
Well, Danny, you know, I'm trying to find something positive to say, you know, about our coaching staff, our players, and especially our difference makers, okay? Our players that are the difference makers on offense and defense. And I can tell you, right now, we're 0-2. We have none. We have none. And the number one difference maker on each team should be the quarterback. You think this guy we got, winning, what, 5 games last year, losing 12? And we start out the 25-26 season, we're 0-2 with this same quarterback. We have a whole new coaching system. And I say it again, go back to June, July, August, all the training camps, the exhibition season. We didn't do a damn thing. And we come up here the second game, first at home, we lose. Now we go to second game away in Detroit. And nobody shows up, folks. You tell me. Tell me who showed up on offense. Who? The guys that are the difference makers, and there's maybe a couple of them, 2 or 3 of them on each side. Where the hell were they? Where was our coaches? Where were they with their offensive game plan and the defensive game plan? You got a quarterback throwing the ball all over the lot. He's averaging almost 12 yards a pass. Can you believe that? 12 yards a pass? And where's our adjustments to stop that? What, 10 minutes after the game's over with? Oh, we should have done this. We should have done that. You guys failed. Coaches, you failed. And players, you failed. And it's a damn shame. Not that you had a chance to win this game. Obviously, after the first quarter and a half, to me, it was game, set, match. It was over. But my God, at least respond on both sides of the ball. Give it everything that you got. And the guys that are the difference makers, folks, where the hell were they today? Where were they on offense? Start with the quarterback. Where were they on defense? Detroit went up and down the field like they were playing against marshmallows. Okay? That's exactly what the hell happened out there. And we got our backside handed to us and shoved right down our throat.
312-981-7200. 52-21. Lions beat the Bears in week 2 of the NFL season. Let's head out to St. John, Indiana, and welcome in TJ. TJ, you're up with Hamp and OB. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you? Good to be back for the football season. You guys are the best radio hosts for the Bears.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, no problem. I'm going to try to get on here as much as I can before the hunting season starts. You know how that goes. But I got to tell you, Caleb Williams, his throws are off, really off, especially when he goes deep downfield. OB, let's be honest. Do you think Justin Fields was a lot better than this guy?
Do I think he was? No. I'm going to tell you, I don't like either one of them. I don't like either one of them. They can't convert on third down, they can't score points, and we can't win games. That's what those two quarterbacks have shown me. Now somebody tell me I'm wrong, or somebody show me where I'm wrong. TJ, I'm telling you, there's only so far you can go with this guy. We got a third game coming up, and if he starts stinking it up again in our offense, they have to make a change, TJ. They have to.
Yeah, right. We do.
All right, TJ, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, bud.
The one thing about it is, and again, see, there's a number of things behind the scenes that will prevent some of that. And part of the overarching plan was the reason that Ben Johnson came to Chicago was because of Caleb Williams and other reasons, obviously, big market, big salary.
How about 18 million?
Yeah, 13 million a year. But at the end of the day, Caleb has to be a part of the Bears' resurgence. And there's going to be an awful lot of taking steps back the way he's playing right now. You know, in the second quarter, he actually made a really, really good throw downfield, and they called it back because Dahlman, the center, was holding. And then the next thing you know, we get into a second and 32, and Aiden Hutchinson, their great defensive end, does an amazing spin move, forces him out of the pocket. He's right, you know, he's running to the right sideline, and he heaves it down the field into three Lions and for an interception. And again, these are the parts of the game that you cannot do that. If in the fourth quarter and you're down 52-28 or whatever, then that is possibly acceptable. Because you're desperate and you're trying. But in the second quarter, the game was still within hand. And to make a critical mistake like that, it tells you something, there's something amiss. And also on both of the fourth and three, I believe, both were fourth and three when we opted to go for it on fourth down. Both times he threw the ball at Zacchaeus. Now, the way I got it figured is, on a target list, would he be in the top one or two?
No.
Not on your worst day.
Nope.
But yet, both times, that was the play that was called in. So I don't understand what, you know, Ben Johnson is thinking.
Why the hell didn't they do that in the three exhibition games?
Exactly.
Why didn't they do that? Why didn't they have that first team out there at least start the game and play a half of first quarter, start the second quarter, half of third, and start the third quarter, and then you pull them out? You can't, folks, you can't. All of a sudden, you're going to start with, when the games count, when you have your 11 guys on defense are sitting down, and our 11 guys on offense are sitting down and walking around with T-shirts on, and you're supposed to come out there and win a football game and score 52 points and stop them at the line of scrimmage on run plays, stop them on pass plays. It doesn't happen that way. You've got to play these people, folks. And damn it, we did not again. Again, we have these guys walking around like they're the greatest football players that ever played. These guys couldn't make my all-nothing team.
52-21 was the final score of the Lions over the Bears. We're going to hold. If you're on hold, please stay there. I don't want to shortchange anybody for the news coming up here in about a minute or so. And we'll continue to get into what transpired out there in Detroit. We kind of guessed it on the pregame show, too, that the Lions had not lost back-to-back games in the regular season since November of 2022. It was going to be a tough fight to come out there if they were playing on all cylinders. And certainly the Bears were not.
Which means don't defer. Take the ball, go and score. No, we don't want to do that. We want to kick off. Oh, wait a minute. We kick off out of bounds. Give it to him on the 40, on a platter. It's like in golf, distance and direction. And the same thing in football. Know where you're at. If you're at home, possibly have some kind of, goofy game plan like that, but not on the road against the Detroit Lions, mad as a hornet.
Dan, you play like you practice. This sport is a very unique sport. You don't have summer leagues. You don't have this league, that league. You basically go high school, college, and then you come in and you got to get go. You're 21 years old, 20, 23, whatever you are, okay? And you got to go. And when you go to camp, you've got to be put in these situations. I can't not understand how Ben Johnson let this entire, when he got hired, and let this back in June, July, and August, and let this stuff go on without daily working on it. How are we going to go on third down? We got this situation. We got that situation. And we did nothing. And then we come out in the league when it starts. What do? Nothing. Tell me, folks. Tell me what we did to win.
So it happened to be.
That's psycho babble. Why did they figure it out in the preseason?
You want to know what? Stop talking about it, kiddo. Start doing it.
Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Our text line active as well as our phone line. We'll get to the phones right now, 312-981-7200. We'll read through some of your texts as well. Let's go out to Willowbrook and welcome in Laura. Laura, you're up with Happen will be. Go ahead.
Hello. Well, I'm so frustrated. I have two things I wanted to mention. Okay. 1 yard needed. We had two opportunities to go 1 blasted yard. I could run 1 yard. I could hop over a pile in 1 yard. What is up with that?
All right, first and foremost, 1 yard, you'd think, okay, well, you could do a dive or a quarterback sneak. Anybody should be able to get 1 yard. Well, unfortunately, the three interior players that they signed can't do it. You know, Dolman, the center,
missing
Joe Tooney, and Jonah Jackson. They're better at pass protecting than they, and they're not that great at that, but they're better than they are at dry blocking. And every time we tried to dry block, remember, we got stoned at the line of scrimmage because that's not what they do. They're not equipped to do that. And when the Bears signed them, they should have realized that. But still, they think, oh, well, we can line up and do a quarterback sneak. Well, now, with those three interior guys, it ain't happening.
Second, Laura?
Yeah, that was disgusting. Oh, and the second thing, okay, Caleb played in college. He's played a few years in the professional. When he's running for his life, I know he's supposed to run out of bounds or throw it away. Unless you have somebody that's totally wide open, why the heck did he throw it to the other team? Should have thrown it out of bounds or ran out because the guy was not wide open.
Well, Laura, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Well,
thanks for the call.
You see this every year with a bunch of guys that you don't see very long. You don't stick around giving the ball away. And unfortunately, in a very cavalier manner, he threw the ball up today into the threesome of Detroit Lions.
When you're supposed to
8 yards away from the receiver
to get ready for the season, sweetheart, they didn't play. They were on the bench. They didn't play. You just can't go and stick the key in the engine all of a sudden, think everything's going to be wonderful. All through training camp, these guys didn't play, dancing around, and I'm telling you, I was so sick of it, just sick of it watching this, the way they prepared for the season. And guess what? We're 0-2. Why? Because a lot of that stuff that I was talking about has jumped up and bit them in the last two games. Timing, frequency is huge in this game in running and passing, and we do not have it down. At the end of this game, we still, going into next week, we still don't have the timing down.
And Ben Johnson has said on so many occasions his offense is built on fundamental timing operations. And we don't have any semblance of, second step, fire the ball to a slant, all those things you see really good teams, smart teams do. We don't even try it.
In action in the preseason games, that's why we play them. That's why you do. That's when you get your timing down. You all of a sudden don't do a damn thing, and all the guys that are playing are not going to be here. And then the opening game, you're ready to go. Our players aren't that good. We had a new coaching staff coming in. You guys had a hell of a task in front of you, and to get these guys going. And guess what? You don't have the guys gone, and you haven't fulfilled your job as the coaches that you should have. That you should have. We should not be 0-2 in the 25-26 season. Period.
Let's try to get one more call in here before our next timeout. We'll go out to Highwood and say hi to Marco. Marco, you're up with Happen OB. Go ahead.
Hey, Dan OB, good to talk to you guys again. Thanks for getting me in. Hey, you know, listen, I got to say, obviously, and we all know, the coaches are disconnected, you know, they're not only from a technical standpoint and a strategy standpoint, but they're not motivating these guys. But I got to say this. Both you guys played in the league. You know what it takes every Sunday. You know what you got to do. You know, this isn't Major League Baseball where you got 180 games. This isn't the NHL where you got 82 games. If you make it through the playoffs, you've got about 20 games to play here, and that means every single one counts. And when I say that, that means every game counts, every half counts, every quarter counts, literally every series counts. And so, okay, the coaches are disconnected. They're not putting these guys in a position to excel, and they have success. But I got to tell you, back to basics, where the hell is the effort? These guys are getting paid pretty good money to do it. If you don't want to do it, if you can't motivate yourself to be ready to go on Sunday and play with urgency and not mope around on the bench like you said, OB, and all this dancing around and all this other BS, I mean, come on. If I'm a season ticket holder, I'm pissed right now, and I'm pissed as a fan. And somebody's got to take ownership of this and right the ship, or we're finished this year.
All right, Marco, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Got to hit a break here.
Marco, the words that you just said, you know, I have, if I've said those words once, I've said them, I don't know, 50 times, whatever. But you're spot on, Marco, and that's what it is. You guys, again, did nothing. Nothing offensively and defensively, and you cannot, again, I cannot emphasize this, you can't go to your opening league game and think that the engine's going to start and all gears are going to go forward and you're going to win, you're going to be a champ, you're going to go from week to week. Right in your face, Ben Johnson. This flew back right in your face. Why? Because you didn't play him. And you don't have them ready. Somebody please tell me I'm wrong on those two accounts.
52-21, the final, Lions over the Bears. Up next, game at Soldier Field against former head coach Matt Eberflus and the Dallas Cowboys, who won a game in overtime today but gave up 37 points in the process as Matt Eberflus runs the defense there in Dallas. We'll talk more about that coming up in the next hour. We'll be with you until 6 here tonight, 312-981-7200. Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers, Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. 52-21 Lions over the Bears this afternoon.
I'll tell you what he can believe in. There's blood in the water, and the Dallas Cowboys are smelling it. And they know. They just got through, you know, two fist fights that they lost in Philadelphia, then they finally won one in Dallas today in overtime. They see a defense that has given up 500 yards plus today. They didn't touch the quarterback, zero sacks. We didn't get any turnovers. I tell you what, they can best believe they smell the blood in the water.
Got some texts coming in here today as well for those that couldn't hang on.
Those words that Caleb would have just used, he had that really shows me he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. The words that he just used, he has no idea what he's talking about. The game's a hell of a lot more than that, young man.
From the 312 area code, it's officially embarrassing to be a Bears fan. He says, can't wait to see Eberflus as the DC of the Cowboys exploit Caleb to the fullest. He knows all of his weaknesses and has to feel like it's Christmas morning coming up for him on next Sunday. Again, easier said
than
done.
There's your blood in the water.
But there you go, right then and there. A couple other texts here, disappointed that Williams just kind of hung his head when they were losing instead of firing up the offense. And this caller at 815 area code says a true leader would have shown some fight. I can say that about most of the team, not just Caleb. It looked like they had just had lost interest in that second half.
Well, and that goes to the coaching staff,
yep,
too.
Yep.
What, if your coaches are like, you can't sense that? You can't sense it from minute to minute, quarter to quarter, half to half to an end of a game? You can't sense that these guys, they're not getting it, they're not doing it offensively, defensively. They let us all down. Like I said, coaches didn't coach and the players didn't play today. That's exactly what happened, and that's why we had it shoved right up our nose.
You know, at 11:57 left in the second quarter, the Lions missed a field goal, okay? talk about figuring out what you need to do, having a sense of purpose. From that point on, they put together six straight scoring drives, five touchdowns, one field goal. But from that point on, their leadership, their dedication, all those crazy little, you know, cliche, you know, maxims. Oh, you got to be dedicated. Blah, blah, blah. Guess what? The Lions lined up and whipped our tails at the line of scrimmage and scored the next six times I got the football. And what did we do? What did
Nothing.
We do? Nothing.
All right, let's get to our Mueller Auto Group game-changing moment. Sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships with locations in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Merrillville. As we were looking at it, and it was a little confusing at the time, so let's see if we can explain it to the best of our ability.
And we're talking about the closing seconds of the first half.
So it was a pass was made down the sideline, and the young kid from Arkansas made that tremendous catch.
Slight.
And it looked as though he was tackled out of bounds. It looked like he went down and he was out of bounds.
That's what I saw.
The clock continued to move, even though the referee or the official on the sideline indicated to stop the clock. It ran to double zeros and everybody left. And it was a 21-14 game at that point. Detroit was in front. However, they kind of went back and they said it was a timing error, an official error. So the ball was spotted down at 16 seconds. And because of the error, they ran off 10 seconds as a rundown. And at 6 seconds left, the Lions got another chance.
Which they ran a little pick play, and Amon-Ra St. Brown scored another touchdown. So instead of staying, you know, engaged, staying in tune, alert, we essentially kind of gave up and allowed them to take a 28-14 lead into halftime, which is a big difference knowing that they were getting the ball at the beginning of the second
half. Danny, our defensive cornerback, should have been right up on the line of scrimmage, right up on their wide out. Okay? He should have been. You got, what, 1 or 2 yards, then there's the goal line, then it's 10 yards deep. He's back. He should have been right up, right on his nose, right on the line of scrimmage. And if he moved to the inside, you step with him to the inside. He goes to the outside, you step with him to the outside. He got turned around, if I remember correctly.
Well, it was a very ingenious play. The two inside receivers, you know, ran to the corner.
But Danny, my point is,
and then
is,
he came underneath and kind of screened Stevenson. But again, in a smart defense checks off. You don't try to play man to man. You play yours or mine. And then if somebody crosses, you check it to the next guy, and the guy takes, you know, the inside receiver goes to the inside, the outside receiver coming across to the inside, the inside man has to pick him up and turn his guy loose. Of course, we had no semblance of what we were trying to accomplish, and it was a walk-in touchdown.
The cornerback should have been head up on him, shade the inside so you don't give the slant, up on the line of scrimmage. That's where he should have been. Today, tomorrow, and a year from now. That's how you play that position. That's why you're getting paid millions. That's why you're a starting defensive back, a cornerback. That's how that play should have been played, folks. And that's not an I think. That's an I know. That's how you play that play.
And that's why we're calling it the game-changing moment. It was just another illustration of being unprepared and disengaged. We had to get half the team back from, you know, headed to the locker room to be back on the sidelines because they all took off running in. I mean, and the whole thing, it's almost like we were going through the motions like it was a walkthrough practice, and they heard a whistle, and they thought practice was called, and they ran off the field.
And, of course, as we pointed out, the Lions scored their touchdown at that point and went 28-14 into the locker room, and the Bears would only score another touchdown in the fourth quarter of this 52-21 loss.
And when they came back out for the second half, they scored five times in a row when they got the ball. So it was cave in, cave out. And you know, the whole thing that really bothers you, when I just read those stats that Dallas is going to look at, you know, Jared Goff had a perfect quarterback rating. We hardly touched him. We didn't sack him. We didn't turn him over. They got over 500 yards. That, I mean, talk about a dream date. Everybody in the league wants to play us.
511 total yards against the Bears off defense today, combined between the passing game and the rushing game. And Jahmyr Gibbs really had that one long run of 42 yards. He had total 94 on the game, and David Montgomery with 57.
You know, Andy and Dan, and to our listeners, you wonder, how the hell could this happen? They got 52 points, and they slapped us around for four quarters. How could this happen? This is only the second game of the season, okay? And folks, the answers are right in front of you. It's what I've been saying, and Dan Hampton has been saying. It's right in front of you. What did we do in June, July, and August, and in the exhibition season with all those this camp, that camp, and every other kind of camp you could think of? We didn't do a damn thing. And guess what? We're 0-2, and what have we done in those two losses? Nothing. Nothing, folks. Nothing that shows me that we're set to go and move the ball offensively, and nothing shows me that defensively we can stop a team when we need to be stopped, when they need to be stopped. That's what they have shown me.
All right, another hour to go here. 312-981-7200 to call or text. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Hey, football fans, he is back. Longtime sponsor, nationwide agent Jeff Vukovic.
Vuk!
For all your auto, home, or business insurance needs, contact Vuk,
Vuk!
At jeffvuk.com.
Make,
and remember,
Vuk,
nationwide.
I make him the new head coach.
Remember, nationwide is on your side.
Jaquan Brisker was one of the few that really seemed to have his game face on most of the day. He had nine tackles total, seven solos. But, you know, you think about it, OB, and this defense. They gave up seven touchdowns, and a field goal. Seven touchdowns, drives of 60, 50 yards, 67, 76, 46, 84, and 43. We're paying an awful lot of money to have people affect the football on defense.
Didn't have them ready to play, Dan. Very simple answer.
You know, tackles and coverages, all that. We have to disrupt offenses, and that is started up front. Now, think about this. How much did Montez Sweat affect the game today? Any hurries? Any sacks? Nothing. Nothing. Grady Jarrett. Big high dollar free agent. Didn't see him. Didn't see nothing from Odingbo. Tremaine Edmonds. Tremaine Edmonds is the highest, second highest paid off-ball linebacker in football. I saw a rating the other day. He was ranked 56th out of off-ball linebackers as far as how they affect offenses. That's awful. It's awful. Jalen Johnson was in there for a little while, made one good play, but he left the game with injury. But we have had zero disruption, creating issues, you know, be unblockable, affect the quarterback, make him get out of the pocket, affect the throwing angle. We don't do anything. We have nobody on defense making an effect on the opposition.
Well, Dan, to me it's not a mystery. To me it is not a mystery. And if I say it again, I'd be probably repeating myself for the fourth or fifth time. You know, were these guys ready to play? Were they ready to play the opening game a week ago? Were they ready then on both sides of the ball? The answer is no, they weren't. And why do I say that? Because we lost, and we had it shoved down our throats. And today, we go up into Detroit, and they're 0-1, we're 0-1. And they slap us around like a bunch of little bad puppy dogs. That's what they did, folks. And we had no answers. Where was the answer from our all-world quarterback? Where was the answer from our running backs? Where was the answer from our tight ends? Where was the answer from our offensive line? And more important, where was the answer from our coaches, our head coach, our defensive offensive coordinator? They put 52 points on us. In four quarters. And basically, what did we do? Lucky we could even convert on a third down. Folks, that's what you saw out there. Anybody tells you any different or anything, the players didn't show up, and the coaches, they didn't show up either. They can say whatever they want, yet was a total and complete failure today. And they don't have to look too far. Just every one of them look in the mirror. Tell me what you see.
Our first drive of the second half, we get the ball back. We put together a magnificent drive of four plays and 9 yards where we turn the ball over on downs because we can't get, 6 inches on a quarterback sneak. Well, guess what? They missed a field goal. And so what are we going to do now? This is where we take the ball and go and score. They gave us a break. They gave us an opening. The door is ajar. Kick it open. What do? A four-play, minus 25-yard drive that ends in an interception. You can't win in the NFL with that kind of a performance.
Let me ask you, you guys have both been in locker rooms at halftime, and you've both been down in games. And I'm sure you, as a player, you're thinking, okay, our coaches, we need to do something different here, right? I mean, we need to do something. Whether you take it upon yourself to do it or you depend on the coaches.
Exactly.
Two games into this season, and we have not seen one of those on offense or one of those on defense.
Those are more surprised. Adjustments.
I'm more surprised about the offense, I think, than I am about the defense. I don't know why.
You know what, gentlemen? What I'm like amazed at. I really, really had high hopes for Ben Johnson. You know, he was the offensive coordinator for the Lions, and boy, they did a wonderful job up there. Dan Campbell, the head coach, and he was the offensive coordinator, and I thought he was the guy, and so did everybody else in the NFL. That's the number one coach.
Including
everybody,
me.
Everybody wanted to get was Ben Johnson, and we stepped up to the plate, paid whatever he wanted, and the show is run by him now. And that's what I believe. It's not polls. It's run by him, or else he never came here. I think that's the way it had to go down. And I'm going to tell you what. I cannot believe what I have seen since the first day of training camp when he came in and the words he used and then what I have seen out on that practice field and in the first three exhibition games. What his mouth is not backing up, what the hell is happening out there. He's talking about this and that and everything, and then you go out and look at how we played the first two games. We didn't show up offensively, and we didn't show up defensively, folks. We did not. Now, who the hell do you blame? The football gods? No. Right on his head. Right on Ben Johnson's head. He's the head guy. He's sitting there looking at this play after play, quarter after quarter, and in the first two games, and where the hell were the adjustments? Where were the adjustments at halftime? In the third quarter, going into the fourth quarter. Where were they? There were none. Could it be possible? Could it just be possible? We got a coaching staff that doesn't know what the hell they're doing. I know that's a far-out statement, but I'll tell you what, in the realm of what's happened here the first two games, I don't think so.
Well, the one thing I know for a fact that we do lead the NFL in is penalties. We had 8 more today versus Detroit's 3.
We had 12 last week.
So 20 will be leading the NFL and being penalized.
Yeah, you get the Golden Flag Award at the end of the year for that, right? I mean, that's not the trophy you want to hoist.
And throw in the botched decisions at the end of last week's game and some of them today.
Happy to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. We'll take a timeout, come back with more here. There's nothing really good to talk about in this one. The Lions all over the Bears. 52-21 was the final there in Detroit. And before we get more into the action here and diving into it, Obiano, you have something to say?
Yeah, I do. I just a shout out to a great Bear fan and a great friend of mine, and he's quite a golf pro, is Carl Bulnow. He's been at Riverside Golf Club, Andy, for 54 years. Started out as a caddy at 13. Then he became a caddy master. He ran the bag room, assistant pro. And for the last 29 years, folks, he has been the head pro at Riverside Golf Club and into the Western Golf Association in the year 21. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame. He's had quite a career. He's quite a guy. He's got great patience, great understanding, and wish him the best and think the world of him.
Can he coach defense?
He do a better job than these guys are doing.
See if he wants to come out of retirement for that.
You got that, Carl?
And I was talking about how you've got to affect the quarterback. We did nothing, zero sacks. But more importantly, you know, you can rush the passer. You know, bat balls, get him out of the pocket, do different things. At one point, Goff completed 15 consecutive passes to score 24 unanswered points. That can't happen. That's Detroit shooting fish in a barrel. And the Bears defense, where are you going to go now? There's no place to hide. And like I said, they've spent a fortune on these guys at the line of scrimmage. We're getting zero from it. Nothing. And, you know, a year or two ago, I was really, really hopeful with our secondary, with Brisker and Kyler Gordon and Jalen Johnson and these guys, blah, blah, blah. Now they're running for their lives back there. It is as bad as I've seen a defensive situation in a long time.
Danny, I know it's a new coach and all new assistant coaches, et cetera, okay? But when we brought him in and you start to build this program, you know, when you got your veterans coming in and the draft and all this, you've got to be all over that, folks. There is no time to waste here. And the reason why there's no time to waste, and you got to hold people accountable. I don't care if they're rookies, free agents, or what they are. This is such a short season, and everything counts. Everything in practice counts. Everything in the game and your preparations, it all counts big time. And if you don't, obviously, these coaches that we have, after two games, they're not doing what they're getting paid to do. And neither are the players. Got some players making $25 million a year, $18 million, $13 million, and they don't even show up. Ridiculous.
Real quick, it sounds like Jalen Johnson and TJ Edwards each re-aggravated their injuries. This is why they left. Of course, Jalen Johnson was out with the groin in the first game. TJ Edwards missed with a hamstring, so we'll get more information, I'm sure, from Ben Johnson tomorrow.
Yeah, C.D. Lamb's really unhappy about that.
Yeah, I'm sure he's really crying over spilled milk there.
There's an answer. When that happens, they go down. Next man up.
Next man up is right.
Next man up.
312-981-7200. Let's get out to Prospect Heights and say hi to Rob. Rob, you're up with Hamp and OB. Go ahead.
Hi, Hamp and OB. How are you guys doing?
Maintaining, buddy.
First of all, I want to say it's absolutely an honor to be able to talk to two of my heroes. OB, throwing your helmet at the end of that 16-3 championship game, and Dan Hampton standing like a mountain over his opponents on the cover of Sports Illustrated after the Bears won the Super Bowl.
Well, guess what? You
God
just voted the caller
God
of the day.
Bless you both.
OB says you're caller of the day.
But one remark that I wanted to make is about Caleb and him saying, like, it's only 0-2. You know, we got 15 games left to go. Doesn't he realize that those two games that they have lost now are against divisional rivals?
Apparently not.
And that at some point during the season, that may come into play.
You're correct.
Definitely true. Rob, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Caller of the day for sure.
Yeah, it was. I tell you, he had a couple of good points there. There's no question about it.
Well, that's the truth. And, you know, you wonder sometimes, too, about younger players. And, again, I'm not making excuses for anybody, but, you know, you look at the length of a season and – as you point out, OB, a lot of times, this is not baseball. This is not hockey.
No.
This is not the NBA. And there has to be that sense of urgency. And if it's not in your quarterback, who's it going to be in? I mean, it's got to be in your quarterback,
you know,
doesn't
it? And that goes back to this idiotic nonsense about the captains. Did you see anybody upset about getting their tails kicked in such a fashion? I didn't see anybody upset. I didn't see anybody, you know, trying to, you know, cajole each other into trying to make a play, get a stop, hit the quarterback, force a fumble, do something, do anything. You know, nobody. And then, you know, Cairo Santos is the captain. He's really going to do something after kicking it out of bounds and missing a field goal last week.
You got a field goal kicker, and he's the captain, one of the captains of the team.
There you go.
Excuse me. I'm going to tell you something. What they have now, there used to be eight captains, folks. Now it's, I think there's five, and then they elect one. So there's like six captains every week. Six captains. I can't even find words for that. Captain this, captain that. Six captains we have, and we're 0-2. And by the way, what are these captains supposed to do? Somebody want to tell me? Are they taking this team a higher step? Are we? I mean, what? It's laughable. You know what, Danny? You got one, maybe two. Maybe two guys should be captain. One on offense, one on defense, okay? But not eight, not six captains. I mean, it becomes a joke after a while.
Well, the whole thing is a joke. You know, 0-2 is one thing, but after what we have seen the last 2 weeks, it's time to panic. I'm just telling you, 0-2 is what 0-2 is. It's time to panic.
You know, the only player I saw on the sideline from the shots that we were able to see on the Fox broadcast that looked like they had any kind of concern and any type of drive and gamesmanship was Kevin Byard. Kevin Byard was on the sideline trying to talk up all the guys who were in the defensive backfield, especially when they lost Jalen Johnson again to that groin injury. He looked like he was pretty much the only guy that was really into it.
Well, and he has been, you know, a bright spot, obviously, and he is one of the captains, so, you know, kudos to him. All that being said, the rest of this bunch, and I already went through the list, all of these guys making fortunes, and we're not getting anything out of it as far as from the defensive side of the ball. But back to the quarterback saying, we're only 0-2, it's only two games. OB, week after week, you talk about the importance of every single game. And so many ways, not beyond the record. It's about your career, your performance, what you have to show for it. And I got to tell you, if they're just saying, well, it's just two games, who cares? They're going down the wrong street.
Well, you know, I just got a text from an old friend of mine, Skip Lanoff, and he's excuse me. He said, why aren't you guys saying anything about Ryan Poles? And, you know, it's a good point.
Well, Ryan Poles is the architect. And, again, we've talked about this, you know, in the last draft. They needed to address the running back situation. They needed to address the left tackle situation. Yeah, Braxton Jones was beat like a turnstile again today. The running game was, again, a non-factor. And yet, you know, the head coach, he wanted to go get another tight end. I don't know why, because we haven't utilized the tight end position 2 out of 2 weeks.
And Ben Johnson doesn't know that. Ben Johnson from Detroit doesn't know that. Come on.
All right, maybe we'll address Ryan Poles coming up after the news. We've got a half an hour left to go. I'll be with you till 6 p.m. here, Happen OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Happen OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Andy Mazur alongside the fellas for the last half hour or so of the show. We'll be with you until 6 o'clock here tonight. And we briefly mentioned Ryan Poles going to the break. Let's get into that here for a little bit, too, because, you know, obviously we've pointed out that this last draft seemed to have the fingerprints of Ben Johnson all over it with the tight end that was selected, and we know how much 12 personnel he likes to play. But you have to kind of look and see where Ryan Poles got this club to, and there's a lot of swings and misses, and unfortunately that's been the case.
Well, the biggest of all is Caleb Williams. Now think about this. I'm in the corner of my eye, I'm watching Red Zone, and I'm watching Bo Nix in Denver battle it out and score, and they're beating the Colts. We know about Jaden Daniels. He was, you know, obviously, you know, in the NFC Championship game last year. We saw J.J. McCarthy out of the same draft, the 10th pick that missed the entire season last year, able to kind of poof, find his magic wand in the fourth quarter last week, score three unanswered touchdowns against our Bears and beat Caleb Williams. And, you know, so everywhere you look, you see these young quarterbacks in the same draft that Caleb Williams was selected first overall, and they're enjoying a whole lot more success than what Caleb is. Now, when we saw the pitiful excuse for coaching that Eberflus and the offensive staff, with Shane Waldron getting fired and then the rest of them getting fired, we knew, okay, maybe he gets, you know, he gets a freebie. But now, after watching 2 weeks in a row, Andy, can you tell me that Caleb Williams has made strides to becoming not only a competent NFL quarterback, but a guy that is able to lead your team and score and win when you get into a position? Today, we fall behind, and unfortunately, I've detailed it twice now. In the second quarter, when we have a chance to get back in it, he gets out of the pocket and throws up a duck for an interception that basically seals the fate of the team for the rest of the game. So time and time again, Caleb Williams has been given an awful lot. He's been given an awful lot of chances. And yet, we saw in the fourth quarter last week, OB, throwing the ball so badly that you wouldn't hire a high school kid that could, you know, that would throw it that bad to coach your high school team. And at some point, you got to start saying, did Ryan Poles, did he sell his soul to the devil drafting Caleb? And now everything else is about finding ways to make Caleb good, make him whole, make him functionable. I'm telling you, it's starting to look like we've got a lot of question marks about this young man.
Well, I hear you, Dan. And you know what? Who should have stepped up to the plate and didn't step up to the plate? Our offense was our defense, Danny. You had Detroit, folks. They had a total of about 511 yards in 58 plays. And that comes down to like 8.8 or almost 9 yards a play. A total of 58 plays, and they gained 511 yards. You're not going to win many football games doing that. So what happens? Why did that happen? Where the hell was our defense? Where were the adjustments at halftime? There's got to be adjustments at halftime. We were getting slapped around in the first and second quarter, and there has to be adjustments, and that's why I've been harping about who do you want to blame this on? Well, both the players and the coaches, but mostly the coaches. Again, why? They were not ready to play. And after the first quarter and at halftime, they come out in the third quarter, there were no adjustments. They kept doing the same damn thing, which was nothing. Not gaining running the ball, not gaining passing the football, and the defenses were getting knocked around like a bunch of little bad puppies. Well, that's what the hell you saw today, folks.
And okay, so the defense was, you know, absurdly bad. Who was on the field? Montez Sweat, who was signed for $100 million in a trade by Ryan Poles. Grady Jarrett, who was brought in and signed at I think $45 million for 3 years by Ryan Poles. Gervon Dexter, who has essentially done nothing. He was a second round pick by Ryan Poles. Then Odingbo was basically invisible. That's your starting defensive line. Let's look at the linebackers. TJ Edwards played decent last year, but he's been injured this year, has been a non-factor. He was signed by Ryan Poles. What about Trumaine Edmonds, who was signed and given the second highest salary as an off-ball linebacker of anyone in the NFL? What has he done? Nothing. The only bright spots are the guys that have been hurt in the secondary. Brisker, Jalen Johnson, and Kyler Gordon. And we haven't seen Gordon or Jalen Johnson, but just, you know, Johnson a little bit in the first half and Brisker a little bit today. Thankfully, he was able to stay on the field and complete a football game because he's had, what, 4 concussions? So a lot of the decisions that Ryan Poles has made on both sides of the football have kind of turned to mud right in front of our eyes. And you know what? Going into training camp, everybody's saying, oh, we fixed the offensive line. We spent $165 million on the three interior guys, the center, Dahlman, and the two guards, Jackson and Tooney. $165 million to fix it. What's been fixed? We can't move people off the line of scrimmage on third and inches. And the two tackles, Braxton Jones has been, you know, a critical point of
that
issue.
Braxton Jones, he can't even play dead. That guy is he's awful.
And Darnell Wright, the right tackle, who hasn't been completely bad today, was called for chop blocking a defender when the defender was engaged, which is really a chicken blank move that anyone that does that, I got to tell you, in my book, they got a big black mark against them. And I'm just telling you, along the board, you know, a few of the bright spots here and there. Okay, the DJ Moore trade. What have you got? What did he do today? What did we see? Did DJ change the fortunes of our offense today? Did you see, you know, great plays, great catch? I didn't see it. Adunze, first round pick last year, was really the only player that Ryan Poles has had any, authorship of that had anything to bring to the table today. And when you strip it all away, you start questioning where we're going here in the draft. And that's why we got a tight end, a receiver, people that haven't helped us a lick when we needed a left tackle and a running back.
And why the hell don't we – why don't we integrate them, Dan, and make them viable from week to week to week? Huh, folks, you go around this league. I don't care who you're a fan of. One of the most important people on the teams that are like championship teams and winning records, they have a tight end or maybe two tight ends that they utilize in all four quarters of every game. We can go 2-3 games without throwing one ball to our tight end. To our tight end. We threw three. They were targeted three times, of which Komet caught two passes. Our tight ends. Folks, and look at what Detroit did to us with LaPorte and I think Wright. You know, they tear you apart on the inside. We don't even implement them into attacking the field, going downfield, coming over the middle. When the hell are you see us throwing at the tight ends? We don't, folks. And that's an integral part of a victory, a continual victory from week to week to week. That is a huge point. You've got to use your tight ends because of the size advantage they have over the defensive backs. Let me say it again. The size advantage over the defensive backs is in the tight end's favor. We don't even use them.
I'm going to throw some other names at you. We're kind of up against the break here, but you forget about the trade of Roquan Smith, Claypool, Keenan Allen last year. Zach Pickens has been cut already. Velus Jones. I mean, these are names that we don't even know anything about anymore because they're not here.
And Kevin Warren signed Ryan Poles to an extension through 2028.
And there you have it. All right, we'll take a timeout here. Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Polar Vortex, wind chills, and lake effect snow. Is your home prepared for winter? Now is the perfect time to upgrade your comfort with Mitsubishi Electric Heating and Air Conditioning. Visit getacomfyhome.com to learn more about their energy-efficient HVAC solutions that will keep you warm all winter and cool all summer. Their exclusive Hyperheat technology performs at 100% rated capacity in temperatures as low as minus 5 degrees Fahrenheit, with continued operation down to minus 22 degrees Fahrenheit. Their ductless mini-split systems are designed to provide both heating and cooling within the same unit, keeping you comfortable even during Chicago's extreme temperatures and even if you don't have ductwork. Visit getacomfyhome.com to find a diamond contractor to guide you in selecting a system for your home and budget and experience consistent room-by-room comfort. That's getacomfyhome.com.
WGN.
Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. It's an all-star that works as hard as you do. On the field, you have to operate under any condition. No excuses. Get the job done. That's why Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. It's built to handle the big jobs. Silverado is an all-around workhorse designed with your work safety in mind. Automatic emergency braking, forward collision alert, and rear park assist are on the job with you 24/7, assisting when it matters the most. With its advanced trailery technology and 8 available cameras, Silverado is a beast for any job. Smart and strong. No wonder J.D. Power awarded Chevy Silverado the most dependable large light-duty pickup. Right now, during Truck Month, get 2.9% APR financing on a Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details.
Work hard, play harder in a new Chevy Silverado.
Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, and Jerry Lee Lewis. Celebrate the legends of rock and roll with Paramount Theater's Million Dollar Quartet. Spend a night out in downtown Aurora with hits like Blue Suede Shoes, Walk the Line, Great Balls of Fire, and many more. Million Dollar Quartet. It's the hottest ticket in town. Get yours today at ParamountAurora.com.
Make sure your roof, siding, and gutters are ready to handle the storms you know will blow through the area. Lindholm Roofing is ready. They have appointments available to provide you with a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675, especially if you've noticed any shingle damage, water stains on your ceiling, or simply it's been many years since you've had your roof inspected. Call 773-283-7675 or visit lindholmroofing.com.
Back to the Camp and OB Show, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers.
Final segment of our show here tonight will take you till 6 o'clock, and we'll be back next week. Of course, it's a 3:25 kick. We'll be on there with our pregame a little bit earlier at 11:30, and we'll go till 12:30 and then come back after the game against the Cowboys. We'll remind you about that before we get off the air here. Camp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Not a good showing at all by the Bears today in a 52-21 loss to the Detroit Lions. And we knew, and we said this during the pregame, Hamp, that the Lions were going to come in looking for redemption of their opening week. They hadn't lost back-to-back regular season games in basically 3 years. And then their home opener, they were not taking any chances, and they were just going to put the hammer down.
No, and you know, we talked about that in the pregame, that Dan Campbell had not lost two in a row, that he had basically said on Monday, we will win this game. Why? Because we have to. And that is the kind of determination that I love to hear from a head coach. I don't know what Ben Johnson's answer was, but I think we saw a little bit of it this afternoon, and it wasn't a good answer. At some point, you got to think, you come out of a game and you look for something that you can hang your hat on, Andy. And I remember, you know, all those years with Ditka. You know, we didn't win every game, but there was a stretch of 5 years where we won more games than any team in NFL history over that same, you know, as many as anybody mm-hmm. in the history. And even after a loss, we would always, I don't want to say find the silver lining, but you got to find something you can hang your hat on. We ran the ball well. We didn't convert on third down. We did whatever. We got, what can we do as a football team here today that you can believe that we will be able to do it come Sunday against Dallas? I have no idea. I have no idea if we are capable of, you know, sustaining a drive. Can we, you know, run the ball when we want to? For 5 yards, 6 yards, a crack? Can we convert on third and three? Will our quarterback have a clean pocket, get the ball out? Will our receivers actually catch it?
So far, Dan, that hasn't happened.
That's what I'm saying. What can we hang our hat on? And on defense, I don't know what to say. I mean, a lot of times when we would lose, we still would, you know, get after people and, you know, knock the quarterback around and this and that. We did nothing. We had a complete non-effect on the Detroit Lion offense. And I was looking at this article, and they said essentially Detroit was shooting fish in a barrel. Whatever they wanted to do, they did. You mentioned it. Almost 9 yards average a play. Yep. 511 yards, seven touchdowns, four touchdowns by the two wide receivers. I mean, if you wanted to shine up an old car and spruce it up, air up the tires, and put fresh oil in it, and you know, armor all the seats, and get a Detroit will never look as good as they did today. Why? Because we allowed them to. That is what is sickening about this defense. We got a lot of money being paid to players that aren't playing, that aren't doing what they have to do. The little things, getting off blocks, attacking the line of scrimmage, playing. You know that Aiden Hutchinson, he's a good player. What did he say before the game? What do you think? I'm going to be relentless. I'm going to be relentless. That's the word he used. I used to say, refuse to lose. Just go out and find a way to affect the game. We have nobody affecting the football game in a positive manner right now. And somehow, some way, in the next 7 days, we got to come up with a plan to find somebody.
Well, Danny, well said. Well said, well put. And I'm going to stick by what my opening volley was a couple hours ago, or whatever, how long ago it was, is that these coaches... It falls right on them. And Ben Johnson, your offensive defensive coordinators, and there's a total of 31 of them, folks. 31 coaches on this team, and we're 0-2. We're 0-2. Defensively, they're just not ready to play, folks. That's, if I was to say one thing, what do you think the problem is? The problem is we're not ready to play. Well, why aren't we ready to play? Because you didn't do a damn thing in the offseason. You spent money like a bunch of drunken sailors, but guess what, folks? They did not make and come with an improved offense and with an improved defense. Why? We're 0-2. We can't convert on third down. We can't traverse the field. We can't score points, and we're losing games. Number one, it's on the coaches. Number two, the players are failing also. That's what I see. I don't know how else to put it. There is no bright lining, folks. Like, oh, somebody, our defensive backs played great. Somebody did this. The running back. No. It's been awful. We're 0-2, and we're going nowhere. That's what it seems to look like. And again, Danny, these coaches have not fulfilled their job as a head coach, coordinators, and assistants. They have not. They failed, and they failed miserably.
What is their job? It's to prepare the team to win.
To win, okay? And then see what the hell they did during the offseason and all those camps they had and the exhibition games. I cannot believe I was going nuts. I'd be calling you and telling you, what the hell is this guy thinking about? Get your guys out there and play. You don't have to play every exhibition game, every play, but you got to get your timing down. You got to understand what you have in front of you. Who are your players? How good are they? We know how good they're supposed to be, but how good they are, and you're not going to do it by playing patty cake, and T-shirts and running around with sunglasses on. It doesn't work.
All right, that's going to do it for Hampton OB here tonight, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. And football fans, he's back. Longtime sponsor, nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich. For all your auto, home, or business insurance needs, contact Vuk at jeffvuk.com. And remember, Nationwide is on your side.